Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned in to the best
Blog Talk Radio show
with Thomas Silver.
Thank you so much for joining us live today. Sweep your mind. Your mind needs to be swept.
Okay.
Thank you.
Stay
focused, Angela.
I was looking at the board. I'm like,
oh my God. You ready, Amy?
Oh, you have to just sit right there where you are.
And whenever somebody talking, just go back to them and come back.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us live today for Dr. Hannah Josue School of Thought right here on the Blog Talk Radio Show. We are so excited to have you present. We encourage you to get your friends, log in, join us by Periscope in just a moment. We also want to make sure that if you can, please go ahead and register for the next Sweep Your Brain class, which will be taking place October the 24th. Now, we need you to register so we can give you our location information. So go ahead and give us a call at 214-637-1400. Or shoot us an email at houseofstudy@josueenterprises.com. We also want to go ahead and let you know next week we have an awesome guest prepared to speak with us live, Pastor Kevin Caldwell. We are so honored to have him to join us live next week. But let's get back to this Sweep Your Brain and Detox Your Mind course. Now, if you haven't been able to attend for the past few months, we do want you to know that each of these classes are available for you to purchase. You can call us again at 214-637-1400. But right now, we want to go ahead and welcome Dr. Josue in. We want you to go ahead, call your friends, get them on the line. You know what? Visit Dr. Josue's Facebook page and just do a repost. Put it on your Facebook page. Let all your friends know that we're here, we're live, and we're looking forward to hear what's going on tonight. Just in case you missed the last week when Dr. Josue was teaching about Sukkot, didn't it rain down in that place? You know, it's just not too often that we get to hear something where you've been praying to the Lord and you've been in study time and God just answer a question that you've been having all week. And, you know, I want to encourage everybody who the Lord has given you a gift and a talent and you feel like you're not using it and you're not going anywhere, please let me tell you this. It's okay. Stay behind the mountain until he brings you out. Purchase that CD. We want you to get yourself together because Dr. Josue has something in store for us today. Dr. Josue.
Shalom, everyone. It's just such a pleasure, again, to have our roundtable discussion. And today it's going to be very, you know, relaxing. It's not going to be long. We're just going to have a little talk, a little discussion. But our discussion, always remember that every midrash, every discussion, every radio blog, every time we sit together, every discussion, every word should be effective. And it should affect you to bring forth life, to bring forth fruit. So I want you to be open. I want you to be honest. I want you to be ready to ask questions. And we're going to put things on the table. And I pray that even at the answers, the wisdom, that you will be benefit from the wisdom and from the answer to these questions. So our discussion today, we're discussing about our filter that causes a barrier in our communication. It's kind of jumping off from the class, from our Sweep Your Brain class. And I'm telling everybody, you have to come to that class because that class is going to help you to live a better life, not only healthier life, but more a healthier life, but healthy emotional life in your mind, in your life, in your relationship. So I'm encouraging everybody that you make the time to be at the Sweep Your Brain class. I believe it's October 24th. 24th is the next class. Okay, so we're going to talk about, here's the discussion for today. And we do have an example of someone that's going to help us with a situation that have happened to them. And I wanted to help everyone. Now, we'll talk about the filter. Our filter is inside of our mind, inside of our unconscious mind. If we don't clean that filter, it can distort your communication. Your communication when you speak, when your communication, when for you to even translate and understand when someone speak to you, and it's and we have come to a time in our lives that we have to put things on the table and be honest and said, you know, is this still working for me? You know, how is my communication? I'll tell you what. I won't call your name, but would you please come and help us with the example that you have on something we discussed today that could help someone else, please? I know you don't want me to call your name, but I think Periscope wanted to see your face, though. But I believe it's going to help somebody.
Such a pretty face.
Yeah, she did her. You know that. He was ready. Come and help us. Come here. Come on this side. Okay.
I don't really know where to start.
Well, let's start with our discussion today about what did you tell me about what happened if, as a mentor, have I said things to you that you could not hear, but you have got to a point that what I have said before, your translation at the time and now, what is the difference? Even from the class, we talk about the filter. What happened?
From our discussion earlier today, I was talking about how...
We talk about like the things that happened in the past, and when I said something, how did you filter it from the past that caused you not to accept your process? You understand?
I understand. Okay. I'm trying to scroll back a little bit.
Yes.
We were having a discussion, and I was talking to Dr. Josue about how I've come to a new level of maturity in my own thinking and processing. And I hear things differently because I have reached this new maturity. In the past, I was hearing things through maybe a more mother tell daughter kind of role, Or maybe I heard things from, like Dr. Joseph would say something to me, and I would take it and filter it through some past experience where I've been being born and raised in church. You know, you get knocked around sometimes a little bit. And so sometimes she would say things to me that would hit that filter, and although those weren't her exact words, it would translate to something different to me because I'll hear or see something from the past. And it reminds me of that, so I began saying it. Oh, it automatically turned what she said into something else. So, sorry about that. As I matured, I began to learn how to listen for sure and hear what the words she was saying exactly. I was listening to hear the words she was saying exactly instead of hearing it with my emotion or hearing it with my past or hearing it with that filter of who said or did what to me in the past. So I began understanding what she was really saying and not what my emotions was telling me she was saying to me. So it went from mother saying this to me, mother saying this to daughter, to my mentor is saying this to help me better myself. So it translated differently from that point. That's a general conversation.
Exactly. And I like that in the part when, and I want to deal with that because I think that is true, because let's deal with the filter mothering. All of us have a mother. Whether we still have one, we used to have one, we still have a mother. And that filter, as when you get a mentor as myself, now you have a filter from a mother, you get a mentor, now you hearing your mentor, as she said, like a mother. That means all of us understand that when a mother speak to you, it's like, oh, thank you, mommy. Or sometimes, I wish you'd be quiet. Right? So if But listen what happens. If you continue with that same type of filter to hear your mentor like a mother, then you're going to miss the process. You're going to miss the wisdom for you to grow. Because what we're talking about today, I said it is sad because a lot of my spiritual children see me as a mother in Zion. And I'm not a mother in Zion. I am a mother of life. And a lot of people miss that because a mother of life, meaning I am here to breathe life back into you in certain areas where you're not sober or you're not alive. And because of the mother filter, now you can't hear what I said automatically. A lot of you know when your mother stops fussing, you tune them out. But when your mentor fuss, you can't tune them out because they're giving you wisdom. But a lot of us have done that. Oh, here she go. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. Oh, Lord. There's something that you said, and I want to bring up when you said, when I used to say it, I said, you so slow. And you identify that as mother saying that I'm slow. But I said to her, you should have came to me and said, what does that mean? Instead of taking it offended if she's saying something about me and she's being negative and, oh, my God. It's your job to stop and said, you said this about me several times. Can you please explain that to me? What does that mean? But we put it through a filter of being offended and say, you calling me name. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if I say you slow, or if I say, give me another name.
Stupid.
If I say, give me another name. Give me another name. Whatever name that we feel like for instance, somebody could say something, but you, if you know the connection that you have in your life, the words that you say mean something else, not the same word as somebody else said. If you said, if somebody tell me I'm out of gas, it's different than when my mentor tell me I'm out of gas. Does that make sense? Yes, sir.
A good word, and I think I saw it portrayed differently. You told one of our students a week or so ago that you are the worst something. Is what they were doing for you, and immediately I saw it, and I took it that you were speaking negative to the person, and I honestly believe the person felt that way too. But then later, I realized, I said, no, she wasn't saying that the person is worse. She was just speaking of the character of what was being done, how it wasn't being follow through in a professional way. So not that the person is but the way they were doing, so it was being filtered wrong.
Exactly. You know? That was a perfect example. Let's say I was talking about, I believe, my personal assistant. And I said, you're the worst personal assistant. It was a report card from a teacher, a mentor of, you need to take that and go do something with it. Like if a teacher give you a report card, are you going to tell me, oh, this teacher is so negative? This teacher just offended me. How could she give me an F? You get an F based on your work. And you, if you want to get an A, then I need to have a meeting with the teacher and say, why did I get an F in this class? What did I do? What happened? Or what can I do so I can pass and redo this class or retake this test? So that's what I'm saying about the filter of our mind and how we translate communication. Because the same way about, believe it or not, we also translate communication from God the wrong way too. Well, God will say something, and you translate it to something else. Like, God told me this. But instead of finding out, what is he really saying?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what we were talking about. It's that filter of our past, of what we've been through, what we so used to getting offended about everything. But remember, if let's say if you pay a coach and you go see a coach, whether it's a marriage counseling coach or any type of coach, and they sit telling you this is wrong, that is wrong, this is wrong, even in your business, are you going to get offended, or automatically in your mind you're going to say, I paid this person to tell me what's wrong, and they're telling me what's wrong with me, what's wrong with the situation, what's wrong with my business? Right? Your filter is not going to remember you paid money to get this advice. Okay, it's that same filter that you need in your life to know who you're connected with or certain things that's being said. Instead of getting offended, instead of saying that you, I can't believe you said I can't do this right, but you can't. I can't believe you said I'm wrong about this, but you are. You understand what I'm saying? So that filter of offense of whatever it is that you need to be healed from is keeping you from receiving wisdom in the truth and where you are, so you could do better and become better. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You had a question.
Actually, I wanted to make a statement since I was the one who brought up the term stupid. And I want to talk about how you helped me in one of our mentoring sessions once before. Because anytime my name was associated to the word stupid, even if you weren't talking about me, but I heard my name and the word stupid in the same sentence, the spirit of offense hit me hard. Because that was a term that I heard from my mother a lot. So it didn't matter how you used it. You could have used it jokingly, but I was offended. And it wasn't until we had our mentoring session at one point, and I came to a place where I just said, okay, Lord, help me. I didn't even ask the Lord to help me not be offended. Help me to hear and receive everything that you said. And it wasn't until I made the commitment to hear you out that you were able to help me break past that. But I will say this. I had to make up in my mind. I had to choose to stop being offended. When I chose to stop being offended by the word and by my mentor using the word that caused me pain in my past, you helped me overcome not just that one word, but a lot of other words that I didn't realize were trigger words for me as well.
Exactly. And see, what's happening if you don't do that, then you're going to keep building, I would say building. For instance, I don't like talking to people that I have to keep using, don't use this word, they're going to be offended. Don't use that word, they're going to be mad. Don't use this word. I don't want to talk to you. You know, because I can't be free to tell you the truth. I can't be free to even say anything because that word hurt you, that word is offend you, that word remind you of your ex-wife, that word remind you of your ex-husband, that word remind you of your ex-girlfriend, that remind me of my ex-boss, that word remind. And by after a while, we can't use a word at all. You cannot communicate. Do you understand? We have to be able to be able to handle the level where you are and be able to handle the words of the communication where you are. Now, my mentor, he's hard on me. None of y'all won't be able to take that pimple. He puts fire in my butt all the time. I tell him that. But you wouldn't be able to handle that because you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he called me. Now. I can't believe he said that about me. I'm grateful that God trusts me enough to give me that hard truth, and it does hurt, and I do cry. Then I have to come and say, you know what? He's telling the truth. I'm going to have to deal with this. You understand? So it's that filter. And then we just went to a situation that what he advised me to do, that I had a filter that was extremely dirty, that I was identifying something in my past, and I couldn't do what he advised me to do. And it hurt so bad for me to crawl over to the other side because I identified, if you tell me to move this pen, that means I am just going to allow myself to just be this. And I just went on and on, and I will not go back to that. I am not going to be able to. And I'm like, this little bit of instruction had caused me to think that I'm being killed. I'm the problem. I'm the one that have to deal with me. You understand what I'm saying? So instead of we waste a lot of energy trying to change other people instead of changing us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We have to take that energy and change me. I don't care if you don't change. I'm going to change. You may not change from treating me and talking to me crazy, but I'm going to change in how I receive it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So
So I'm saying is that our filter of communication, how we translate, have to do with something that happened in your past. Whatever that happened in your past, whatever experience that you had. And there's something else that we discussed, that what happened in the church before. Like, for instance, if I said, you have to go through this process so you can learn, you identified with something in the past of your church that says you had to go do that, and you feel like the people use and abuse you. And so if I say you have to go through the process, you automatically put it in the filter of, well, that's the same thing these church people told me. And then you miss the process. Because you, as you were doing, and a lot of us do that, we identify this process, this road, this word, based on something that happened to me in the past, even though it could be completely different. But then what happens, you miss the communication, you miss your impartation, you miss the growth, you miss the development, because, well, that reminds me of this, and I remember when they told me that, so... I'm trying not to go around what you said, but can you come back and we could finish that conversation? And if anybody want to ask any question, please press 1. Do we have anybody on the line that want to ask a question or want to make a statement? Anybody on the line yet? Okay, if you want to ask a question, just press 1. I want you to come back because I believe that's going to help somebody. Really, come back. Because we talked about there's a lot of things that she said, I do that I don't want to do. We're talking about just process. Why don't you want to do them? Because I remember doing them in the church before, and it was a desire. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Come.
You don't have to say anything.
I'm trying to remember exactly what
about process, about doing things that you don't want to do, and to get to what you really want to do, and...
Right. I'm trying not to offend anyone, but sometimes people will use the word, or they will use salvation for their benefit. They'll tell you something is, or this part of your process, or this part of you growing closer to God, or this part of you being saved for their own benefit. And I've been through that a couple of times. They're like, you know, so you just do this, and God's going to bless you. And you keep doing it. And you're like, not doing it for the, you're doing it to just put out your heart. But sometimes, like, you say, well, you know, where's the balance in that? You get kind of, like, that doesn't seem quite right. And so sometimes when Dr. Dressel would say, well, this is your process. You go through your process and build your character. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard that one a couple of times. And I didn't see myself benefiting. Actually, I found myself on the outside rather than on the inside. So it looked the same. But I'm like, you know, I'm not going to hear that again and keep being naive or being foolish about it, not being sober because I'm saying, oh, putting everything under God. But I didn't have the right balance in doing that. I didn't have a knife sharp enough to cut between the two, so to speak. So everything to me became, no, that she's just saying that because she wants me to do X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
And that's what happens. You have a question? You can have a question.
Yes,
go ahead. Go ahead. You don't want the mic?
I don't want Go ahead. Okay.
You probably need to put that down a little bit.
Just on what she said, what is the difference being in the church, being told something to do or asked something to do, and putting your all in it, and then going to another place, another spiritual place, and being asked to do something? I think, and you hear it so much now, and I was just so glad when I was at, when we were at that revival. We weren't at the revival. It was Pastor William Johnson who was here.
Yes.
And he said, God's church isn't doing that. God's church is doing what it's supposed to do and, you know, all of that. And I think sometimes, this is just my thought process, because I'm going through my own stuff. that we beat the church up so much, and it's individuals in the church that do a lot of the things, and it's the choices that we make, whether we're in church, in synagogue, wherever we are, we make choices every day to do something, to not do something, to be offended or not to be offended.
Okay. Well, see, here's the situation. It's not that what you said is not true, but that's not part of what she said in the conversation. Let me tell you why. It's not about what the church have done. It's about the filter of something that happened in the past. Whatever that experience was, what she was saying, and I'm saying to a lot of us, that we are unconsciously making a decision based on whatever that experience and that process was in her life. Now, it could be that in her experience, she didn't take whatever the process was, and now she has to go through it over again. It's not per se it's the church fault. It's her process. That was her process at the church, and a lot of us have that same process, and we just don't want to admit it. Things that have happened in the past, whether it's church or husband or wife or friends or even parents. Something have happened, whether it was good or bad, or whether we accepted or we didn't accept it, that have caused us to make decision on our new relationship or a new communication we can't receive because the filter is giving us an experience to say, oh, this is the same. And that's what happened to her, and that's what happened to a lot of us. We keep identifying this. Like, for instance, if I said to you, because I believe that was a situation, if I was said to you, okay, you are in trouble, you won because you feel like you're in trouble. You identify that by, again, your past experience in the church, per se. But when you're doing business or you have a mentor, you're in trouble, you need to hit it. Okay, what have I done? I need to fix that instead of running. But where did you learn the running from? Does that make sense? Wherever you learn it from, is that's what's in your filter. And that's what you have to deal with and get rid of it. It needs to be clean. It's, whether you learn in the church, it doesn't matter about the church, wrong, right? It really doesn't. Not in this situation. But it's the point that whatever you have, whatever you receive this impurity that's in your filter, it needs to be clean. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Come on.
And I think the second part that we were talking about, that filter not being clean, because you were telling me that I need to forgive. And if you don't forgive whatever offense, disappointment, shortcoming, or misunderstanding that was before, it clogs the filter. So you automatically think, never again. And that those clogs say, okay, well, I'm going to block this for you from happening again, whether the person's going to do it or not. If you step on my foot once and I'm like, oh, no, that's my sore toe. You never do it again. Every time you walk up on me, I jump back. You know, I have a block. My filter's not clean in that area. Now, that's a simple example, but my filter's not clean, so I'm automatically thinking everyone who approaches me is going to step on my toe. And it's not true. You get this warped perception. And I think that's I said the church. I use the church, but it can be in business, relationship. But I think a lot of people gather in church with these dirty filters, and gives the church a bad name because, again, it's not the church doing it. Sometimes it's literally how we perceive things, and then we have this expectation, well, I'm in church, and then all people in church are perfect. They're not going to do this. And you know, then we start putting them through, well, they supposed to be saved. You know, I don't even know what that means when somebody says, what does that mean? But, you know, so we have this expectation. We live with this expectation. We get more disappointed, more frustrated, and we close down more, and then literally we don't hear when people talk. We hear what we think people are saying.
Yes, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yes, that is so true. Yes.
As Ruth was speaking, I looked at it as in. I looked at it as in more of a putting up your guard, like for me. when, like you said a few minutes ago, when you used to tell me I'm in trouble, or if I knew that I did something and I'm going to get it, and you'll send me a text and I look at my phone, I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to respond to it. I'm in trouble. Oh, no, I'm going to go the opposite way. I don't even want to look at the woman of God. I already know I'm going to die. But I want to say from the fifth class or the fourth class, after the class, you had sent me a text. And it's just amazing how God is, because now I can see everything being put together, mm-hmm. that now I'm no longer being scared of being in trouble. Mm-hmm. I look at it, the text, I have to read it 2-3 times. Then I say, okay, I'm ready to respond, because it's not as bad as I think it is. It's more of me letting that fear take over that I'm going.
Where did the fear come from? That's that filter.
Exactly.
Where did you identify, I'm gonna get killed, I'm gonna get killed, and then you take off and run? That's the part. That's the filter that you have to deal with. Where did that come from? Where did it come from? Because when you get in trouble, are you really gonna get buried alive?
I believe so. From the woman of God, I do.
Exactly, but it had to come from your past.
Yes, it did.
You know what I'm saying? It had to come. But what I'm saying is that we don't blame the person.
No.
We have to look at ourselves and say, where did I get that from to identify myself? Oh, my God, I got to run.
Well, once I stopped letting my unconscious mind take over and started looking at it with my conscious mind, it really didn't matter if I was in trouble. What mattered was I needed to correct whatever it was that I did so I could fix it. So not saying per se that it won't happen again. I'm not trying not to let it happen again. It's more of me learning whatever it is in that package or in that possession right then and there that I need to receive. Mm-hmm.
So how did you identify? Did you find out where that filter, in that part of your filter, where did that fear come from?
Yes, I did search.
Okay.
And I even looked back to see maybe it came from my mom.
Mm-hmm.
The one I used to get a whooping.
Mm-hmm.
So I have identified it, but I'm not letting it take me captive anymore.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Deacon, I'm sorry, you had something to say.
No, he didn't.
He didn't?
No, I'm thinking. Well, I forgive you, Angela. I do have something to say.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was thinking about the filters today. It just hit my mind. And I was really just astounded how even with what we're talking about tonight, how it's a lot of times too, I think a lot of the problem is that if we really face the truth that we can't blame anybody, we are just super lazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we refuse to do the work it takes to get this done, this mm-hmm. this body in the place that God intended it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking and it just, a lot of things just start making more sense to me now. I don't even think we should even call it trouble anymore. What do you mean trouble? When you don't even realize the person that's standing in front of you is just like somebody going down the wrong way, down a one-way street, and somebody say, hey, what are you doing? That don't mean you're in trouble. They're trying to save your life because you're going the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I begin to think it and start seeing it different, and it makes me realize even how for years you told us, buy the CD, buy the tape, and listen to it. If you are not playing this thing and you're having this played in your conscience constantly, there's no way that you can work this out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. So it started bringing me to a better place to where it's like, okay, a lot of times it's not other people. Sometimes it's just you. And even like how when the word comes, it's almost like I can see it today. It's like the word comes and it's like, boom, it hits you. And it's almost like all the particles in your mind just boom, you know, just break free for long enough for you to see, wait a minute, this is something that you really need to work on. But then after it's broken free, there are still particles flying in the air. So you got to do some work to get that thing cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot of stuff just start making a lot of sense.
Where did you get that wisdom from?
It was not flesh and blood. No, but it's just a lot of things that, and to be honest with you, then, and God is so amazing because
when you listen to some of the other teachings, like I was telling you, I was listening to It's the Journey.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, my God, we don't even realize that God has been trying to tell us in so many different languages.
Yeah.
To, you know, how to really be successful, how to have a successful life. And it's just like, so getting to this point now, you know, and I do, just, I mean, I'm just amazed and I thank God for it.
Good. Yes, sir. You had something to say.
Yeah, just going back just a little bit. One, with the text message, we always misunderstand
yes.
what the person is sending us.
Yes.
Because our mind will take and put punctuation mark, period, and place of where it don't go.
Yes. Yes.
And change to be.
My God. Way. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Flesh and blood didn't reveal that one to your knees, and that was gone. Right. And that is the truth, because I want to deal with that, what you just said. Even with text, if we don't text properly, me and you talked about that, and you would say something, and I would say, well, that sounds offensive. Well, you said, well, that's not the way I meant. And if I take the time, listen to what I'm saying, if I take the time to show you where you're wrong, 90% of the time you think it's too petty. I'm waiting a minute for you to think about that. Why is she dealing with that? That's just so small. It only was a text. How did she know I ain't mean nothing by it? Because why? You have not, in your mind, identified who's talking to you. You still thinking this mother of Zion again. You need to shut her down. And it's a simple lesson for life. You should have put the period over here. You shouldn't have said it over here. And in your mind, that's small. That makes no sense. Yeah, never mind. All right, fine. All right, thank you. Okay, because God knows I ain't mean it that way. All right, that's the way you take it. You missed the whole lesson. Come on now. Y'all tell the truth. And I can hear you. Because the way you answer the text back, like you're trying to tell me so many words. This really was nothing. Why are you making a big deal about this?
Yeah.
When it's actually teaching, because you could offend somebody else. First of all, you could mess up your own relationship. You could sow a seed of offense to somebody. It's unnecessary because of the way you communicate it.
Right.
That happened several times. That happened to me and you recently, that you sent a text. You were answering a text from before. Now, what we don't think, when you send a text or communicate with somebody, they're doing other stuff too. We assume the person is still sitting there waiting for your reply, so they understood from the last text about 2 hours ago that they still feel the same way. And you're like, what? You understand what I'm saying? So it's the proper communication that we are missing, because you still 2 hours later said yes. Yes about what? And you're like, well, you should look at. But the person's mind is gone, especially if they have a life. They're not going to sit there and wait. But something that happened, she took one text and answered two different things without putting, this is the answer number one, this is answer number two. It was like, so I thought it was one paragraph. I went off. What are you trying to tell me? And guess what the text was? It was supposed to have been a good news. But the way it was read, it sounded like it was bad news. So I'm saying it's the filter that we have to get. We have to learn how to communicate properly. We have to learn how to give it, and we have to learn how to receive it. Does that make sense? So we won't identify everything. And I believe you said something last week that even with me, that when I spoke to you, you had to get rid of some stuff in the past because you kept identifying me with your mother. You remember that? And a lot of us have done that. A lot of us have misunderstood our relationships. Our relationship with our mentor, our relationship with our leader is not mother and father of Zion. It is mother and father of life.
Yeah.
You understand? And we miss a lot of little small pieces of puzzles. Do you have somebody? We have somebody online?
No.
Oh, you have a question. Come and ask a question.
My question is kind of piggybacks on what Johnny said about us being lazy. And my thought was, my question is, why is it so easy for us to feel before we think?
Ooh.
Repeat that one more time.
Why is it so easy for us to feel before we speak?
That is so smart. I love smart students. Oh, my God, I love smart people. Why, and that is a question we need to put on the table. Why do we feel before we think? Yes, ma'am. Here's the answer right here. Rabbi Mike. She's going to put her hand. That's not proper. People can't see you. I can't see you.
I have a few things I want to say. My first reply is to what she said. Why do people feel before they think? A lot of times, when things happen over and over again, the same thing. So it's like, sometimes you're like, I've told you this before, we've gone through this before, and it's like a never-ending cycle. And so it's not, in some cases, it's not feeling before you think. It's just knowing what the outcome usually is.
Mm-mm.
About a situation.
Mm-mm.
Or
Mm-mm.
To me, that's it, because
Mm-mm.
that's the way
I want to address it.
But
I want to address that. I want you to stop right there. I want to address that. It's because of the fact is, no, you can put it back on me because she keeps covering her face. I want nobody in Periscope to see her. But what you said, that, I want to stop right there, and I want to deal with that little part right there, because that's for a lot of us. If you said, well, I already know how the outcome is, then if you already know what the outcome is going to be, that's mean you are being held responsible to know how are you going to approach the situation so I can bring a different result. Because that has happened to me several times, even one of my mentees. I'm like, why am I asking you to do this over and over again? You're not hearing me. So I have to use a different approach and say, okay, let me talk to you and bring you to an awareness that you are not answering this question or dealing with the situation, and I have to bring it up over and over again. So now it's time for me to have a conversation to bring it up on the table so for us to talk about it. And if we be honest, we're not that type of people who do that. We don't communicate in that manner to say, hey, listen, this, I know every time I say this, you said this. So let's put it on the table. Maybe you're not aware of it, or maybe I'm saying it wrong. Let's talk about it. We don't do that. We just keep getting upset and getting in our feeling and said, oh, every time I do this, she do this. Every time I do this. And so we get mad first. That's the feeling. We get upset. We get offended first before we think, what is the proper way for me to answer and get a result, or to even bring about a change? Because if I'm acting the same way, I want you to tell me something. I want you to think about it. Tell me something that's going to bring me about a change inside of me. Don't treat me like you already know I'm going to be wrong. Don't treat me like you already know what the answer is going to be. I want our relationship to be effective. So when you talk to me, since you said your words bring life and death, talk to me where you're going to bring life to me. Do something different. Say something different that's going to change my mind. That's where I am with all of us, because that's a pet peeve of mine as well, that we don't communicate with one another. We don't talk. We talk at each other. We gesture at each other to let you know I'm mad, I'm offended, I don't like what you said. And the person have to read you, and if they're wrong, how you know I felt that way? And the person have no proof. Yeah, I didn't tell you that. But I saw it. That's not what I felt. You know, I could do a whole conversation. But only thing we had to do is simply, let's say, hey, listen, we need to talk about this. Because this is a situation, it seems like I'm offending you, you offending me. Every time I say something, I know what the answer is going to be. Let's put it on the table, because if it's something I've done or something I'm saying, let me know so I could address it in a different way. Let her finish her point. Go ahead. Go ahead, finish your second point. Go back with her.
Okay.
Yeah, but.
And so when he was talking about the text, I have made a conscious decision I don't talk to a whole lot of people. I do text very few people, but I've made a conscious decision. There is one person that if we have a text conversation, then there will be some things in within that text that I never even said. You couldn't, you can't infer. No, I'm not. We don't even text.
Oh, I've known some people like that.
How
did you see that? Yeah, how did you read that?
I never even used those words. How did you even come up with that sentence?
That's the filter.
If we text, if we inbox, it's not going to be serious.
Exactly.
And
what you said is so correct, because I've known a few people the same way. It's like, how did you read red when I said blue and black? And people, again, that's the filter, because they identified red as in black and blue. How did you identify that? Because your filter is what needs to be purified. So you, when you hear red, you'll translate red. When you hear blue, you translate blue. But you translate something else, because by the time it goes through the filter, it comes out a different color. But we never see it on us. We always see it, you the problem. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, you had a question earlier.
Well, I was going to say that. And also, I've noticed, too, that particular thought process, that particular thought process is always on the front line. It's the representative that stands there. I don't care what the situation is. It's going to be. It seems like you're so much, we've been in so much practice with our dysfunction, and it's the true strong man that's standing in front.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what the situation is, it's going to always be, no, you're doing this to me, because that thing that you've been practicing for years is standing on the front line.
Exactly.
It's the true representative. It's not the true representative, but it's the representative that has taken the front line authority instead of us, you know, fighting that thing and not allowing us to slow down and think. Because, like, I noticed, and I don't know if anyone else noticed, with me, I play with everybody. But if somebody says something to me,
you can't take it.
I'm going to go into offense.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. I need to deal with that too.
Before I even think, the person could not be, you know, no matter if the person is right or wrong, no matter if the intent is right intent, or even if it's vicious intent. I it's like you never stop. I never stop to think, like, you know, it doesn't have to be about that.
Mm-hmm. And what you just said, I want to deal with that, is true. A lot of us could dish it, but we can't take it. You say stuff and do stuff and offend people, but when they come for somebody to do something to you, oh, I'm like, what? Exactly. And if I could, so then if you know you can't take it, stop giving it out to people. And that's something we have to learn to deal with, because, again, what she just said is so real. We feel, if I said, let's say, why you didn't get my garment done on time? What she mean? Why did I get that? I already told her that. You already get the feelings in the way, instead of thinking about what she is right, because she did give me this assignment about a month ago, and I'm still adding. I have not finished. It does not matter what the excuse. I'm using it as an excuse. You understand what I'm saying? We don't think about what the person is saying. Is there some truth to that? We get offended and get our feelings first. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Bless you. Bless you. If you have any question, I don't mind. That's so beautiful. Really? I'm so glad you came. Let's give them a hand for coming. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate that. And that says a whole lot, because that means we're being effective. We're being effective. So thank you. Stay in touch with us and come back. Okay? But yes, ma'am. Yes.
Put something into it with talk discussion. Could it be that's the lazy part of us? It takes me less time when you say something. It takes me less energy to get mad, I think, instead of just receiving what you say, thinking about it, that's a lot of brain power, a lot of stuff. But for me, it's easier to go back to my old bag, even though I know what results my old bag is going to bring.
I like that. I like what you're saying.
Instead
but,
of just coming and do and learning.
Exactly.
Instead of just bringing the new form and using our brain and everything start rolling, we'll do the old stuff.
And it also saying that we don't want to learn. We don't want to learn, right? We don't want to learn because if I learn, then you're going to tell me this, whatever this, let's say, for your school, you're going to tell me 1 and 1 is not 6. And it's, I don't want to learn what's really 1 and 1 is because we identified. It's not just lazy, but we identified as being, you saying I'm stupid. You saying I don't want, you don't want nobody to think that you don't know anything. You want to appear that you know, but actually you are appearing that you don't know less by appearing that you do know. Does that make sense? Yeah, yes. Yes, go ahead, sir.
You know, I have a two-part question. I have seen that in people that work for you.
Mike.
And they want to know a particular task, and you know they don't know it, but then they just are trying to impress you, and you just see, so you make yourself look stupid. You know,
exactly.
And trying to do that, but on the part you were saying earlier about why we keep identifying with the same thing, you know, I had that problem. Once and what I put it to be, I said, well, it's the same scenario that I dealt with 10 years ago, so I still feel the pain from that 10 years ago, but I'm not crying about the 10 years ago because, I mean, if I broke my arm 10 years ago, yes, it hurt and there was a problem then, but now 10 years later, I don't feel that pain, but I remember it. But if I break my arm today, I'm crying because I broke my arm today.
That's right.
You know, but how would you say we are addressing that? Is there, are we not letting go of the past to still feel that?
Okay. From what you said, if you broke your arm 10 years ago, that was 10 years ago. But if you break your arm this time, it hurt, you broke it because you were hurt because it broke again. Okay. That's two different things.
But so if the scenario, say if a person wronged you 10 years ago, we'll bring it to that, and now you're trying to correct me on something, but it's because someone has done the same thing that then. No,
that's a very good question. But do you realize, do all of us realize there's nothing new under the sun? Betrayal is still betrayal. People are still betraying us. People are still lying on us. People are still using us. It's nothing. Somebody's not going to come in your life and do something new. When you get married, let's say you had first marriage. Your first marriage, your husband cheated. And you could get married again, and he could cheat. May not be with the same woman, but it's still cheating.
Yeah.
You said it's really nothing new. This time he may cheat with drugs. He may cheat with something, but it's still cheating. But I'm just saying that these things are not new under the sun. So obviously, it's not like, dog, I've been used and now I'm being used again. It's a wisdom we need to learn from whatever that experience is. So at this time, I'm going to be able to see it early, or I'm going to be able to react different. Something different is going to happen in me. But the betrayal, the use, the, all of that, there's no new sin, there's no new nothing. All of it is the same. Does that make sense? So for us, identify it, and I've done that, identify it as that's because of something happened in my past. That just tell me I'm not healed from the past because now this remind me of what I've been through. And I'm reacting and I'm giving an answer to this. I'm really talking to that. I'm not really talking to this because there's a way for me to reply to that. But I'm really talking to this back here. That's what I need to be here for. Yes, ma'am.
I think what
Who had a question?
This
okay.
One of the things that I want to throw into the pot of us not, you know, going through the process of well, and I won't even say refusing to go through the process, because as we've been talking, I'm identifying with, okay, I have to be honest and say, because of my filter being in the condition that it's in, I let it stay nasty so long that when I rinsed it, I called myself cleaning it. But the truth is that it's so nasty. It has a stench to it, mm-hmm. and maggots have grown out of it. But the facade is, oh, I'm going through the process. I'm filtering this. It's being clean. But I wanted to say that because I'm identifying that because I had an inward refusal to be healed from something, I have now made that situation worse. And this is my point in case, because it's been this teaching of the Sweep Your Brain courses and these Thursday night live broadcasts that really helps me identify some of the, you know, maggots are there not because of the situation. The maggots are there because of me.
Mm-hmm.
The stench is not there because I refuse to clean my filter. I refuse to be honest and open about what was really hurting me to the point now where I'm able to look and say, you know what? I identify that you do something to me all the time. But because I'm now open to when you say things to me, because first thing I have to do is identify, you know what? I ain't never been in this place before in my life. Before you, I never had a mentor. Before you, I never had anyone who said, you know what, you really are gifted, but your character is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and because everybody accepted my gift, everybody accepted my talent. And you're like, oh, you are gifted and you are talented. But let's talk about that little hidden agenda that you have, that thing that you do. And so because you're pulling on me to identify with that thing, so I don't just keep operating in gifted character, I have to say this. This is how these teachings have helped me so much. I can now look, and you and I can have a conversation, and you can say something to me, and you can say it can be repetitive. And you know what? I realize you don't say that to me because you're trying to hurt me. You don't even say that to me because, you know, you're not even trying to do that to me on purpose. Why am I even processing that way? You're not doing something to me repetitively on purpose to hurt me with malicious intent. It might just be who you are, what you do. I could completely be missing the point.
Exactly.
It's not.
You said it. You hit it on the nail. You hit it on the nail. And that's what's happening. We only have two more minutes. Okay, Ms. Francis and Julie, let's make it like 1 minute and a half so I could answer.
Okay, to go back to what Johnny was saying about, he was saying something about you're not doing it to the person, or it's not happening to the person, it's happening to the strong man in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm the one being cut and I see my blood, the strong man ain't bleeding at all. I'm the one being punched in the face, and I'm just talking in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one being punched in the face. How do you differentiate between the two and not say that this is some hurt from your past? No, this is some futuristic black eye right now.
Okay, go ahead. 1 minute.
Excuse me, I'm going to say this real quick. I'm going to go back to the way Deacon Wilson explained it. If I break my arm 10 years ago, when I break my arm, they brace it. Okay, that's when you had a relationship that went bad, you brace yourself. When it's broken, when it take it out, they do therapy on your arm, because that arm is so weak that if it breaks again, it'll be harder. It'll hurt even worse, and it'll be harder to heal. So if you are in a relationship and they cheat on you, and then you didn't get braced and you didn't get no therapy for it, and it happened again, it's going to hurt even worse, okay? No matter if somebody comes and they, if they come and they cheat on you, and the last person cheated on you, that's the same broken arm.
Yes.
But if you have somebody who cheated on you the first time, and then this time
maybe they something else happened. It won't be the same kind of hurt because this one is already broken. That happens in all kind of medical situations in a broken arm. If you have a wound that you had, that skin at that same spot that you had that wound is more sensitive. So if we don't have a mentor, if we don't have that training, if we don't have that therapy to go through it, the same is going to hurt. It's going to hurt even worse because this
That's
is the second time I broke my arm. So I just wanted to go a little bit deeper what he said.
Yes.
But if I break the other arm, it's not going to be the same pain.
But something that you said, too, and sometimes we don't identify, let's say you break the arm or you break the leg, sometimes the reason you fell and broke something else is because you didn't make adjustment and you remember that you broke this arm. I can't do this anymore because my arm is still not healed. You going back like it's okay. Now you falling. Like, remember the situation with our friend that have lost a leg, that can't walk the same way, right? But she still tried. And what happened? She ended up falling, hit her head. Now there's a different pain. But because she didn't make adjustments, said, I can't walk the same because I'm missing a leg. That's what happens, that you now need to adjust and walk a different way because you're still not healed from that. I'm still want to finish addressing what you said. Yes, yes.
I just wanted to say, I heard when you were saying that, it's you on the front line. How do you even know who you really are if everything is clogged? Because what we are protecting is the false identity.
But let me go back to the further to what you said. Now explain, what does that mean? And said, I'm being beaten up again and I'm getting a black eye. Why does it have anything to do with my past? Go ahead.
What I was saying is that how can you differentiate, since we're talking about the filter? If I'm being beaten right now, and if I have the black eye right now, and I did just say, for instance, that did not happen back then, but you're saying it's the strong man. How can I identify whether it's the strong man or whether it's me? Or whether it's that representative that you say that we put out there, if I don't have that issue, and I'm telling you, or I have the evidence that you're doing this to me, or you have the evidence that this is happening to you, why are we, or how can we, you know, differentiate? How can you differentiate between the two? Because you can't say I can identify with something in my past with this, because this has never happened. But this is happening now. This is not. I can't say that it's the representative because I'm feeling the pain and it didn't come from way back when.
Let me tell you this. First, I'm talking about the filter.
You tuned in to the back.
He has to answer the question about the representative. I'm saying is that in our communication, the way we communicate and answer based on our filter that is dirty in our mind based on experiences from our past. Now, if you have the representative and how you're hurting now, is I don't get that. I'm going to be honest. I don't get that. Now, I don't know. Let's say a situation, okay, why am I getting beat now? It could be because you chose the wrong man. You chose the wrong relationship. I mean, that's as plain as I could put it. Why am I being beaten now? I just chose the wrong man. Now, you could go back and say, why did I choose this person in my life that's beating me? Then now you got to go back to your filter and say, why? What did I do? How did I choose him? Did I have any evidence? Or did I see the type of man that he was before I married him? Why am I beaten up? Why am I in this relationship? Why am I still in this relationship? Am I being beaten up? If I'm getting beat up one time, why am I still there getting beat up again? So that's the part that